This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. As GOP politicians bank on homophobic and transphobic rhetoric, policies, and laws to score political points and garner votes, a new study examines the impact that such legislation has on gender-expansive workers. It turns out that the vast majority of such workers feel that anti-transgender laws affect their mental health. More than half say the increase in anti-LGBTQ laws impact their ability to do their jobs. What can workplaces do to improve the environment for gender-expansive workers? My guest is Liz Giel, co-founder of The Coven, and also a partner with The Coven. She's the lead author of the study. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
So first, let's talk about the study itself. In the context of everything that's happening in this country, how did you go about surveying workers? And maybe even give us a note toward the language that you use, gender expansive as opposed to, you know, straight up LGBTQ.
Absolutely. So as part of this study, we were interested in really understanding how the LGBTQ community is experiencing this rise in anti-LGBTQ legislation, just overall in their lives, but also at work. So as part of the study, we partnered with an organization that is near and dear to us called Mosher to really help us understand how to approach the study in an inclusive way, but also used very inclusive language as part of it. So as more people are exploring what gender looks like for them, we wanted to talk to folks who identify as non-binary and felt that, you know, gender expansive was really the most inclusive term that we could use for folks who don't necessarily identify as a man or as a woman. You know, this was very inclusive to us as for folks who are also transgender. So I'm really trying to understand those different experiences and folks who are expressing their gender differently. We felt that gender expansive was the best and most inclusive term for us to use, but also really encompassed the topic that we were aiming to learn about as part of this study.
So we have a situation right now where there are laws all the time being passed at the state level, especially in GOP-run states. I mentioned, you know, these are basically being used to score political points and whip up a frenzy. How important is this framing? And how, you know, we may think that it's just headlines, but I suppose when the headlines sort of are referencing one's right to exist, referencing laws that upend one's right to exist, even if there might be a headline in a different state, it really has an impact on people's mental health?
Absolutely. I think what we found in our study was a little bit surprising. I think we thought that folks who are gender expansive or transgender in some of the states, I think you're talking about the GOP led states that are introducing more of these anti-LGBTQ bills would be the ones most impacted by the rise in these hateful laws. But we found that because this is happening, it really extends beyond borders within the United States of America. So, you know, one example is the state where the Coven is headquartered in Minnesota. You know, by all standards, we are a quite progressive state as far as the laws that we are introducing. We are really, in a lot of respects, I would say, leading the charge nationally for laws that are creating more safe environments here in Minnesota for transgender and gender expansive people. However, we found that folks in our study that live in Minnesota are just as likely to be impacted by the rise in these hateful laws as folks in other more conservative states. So, you know, it really, it doesn't necessarily, there's not that exact correlation that we expected based on where people live. We find that these hateful laws are impacting gender expansive and transgender workers everywhere. And these people are very interested in seeing more support from their employers very specifically.
So let's talk about what you found in more detail. It's impacting their mental health. They do. One thing that surprised me was that 75% of workers identifying as gender expansive do feel welcomed, but don't mm-hmm. feel, or many don't feel, that their workplaces are doing enough to sort of combat the wave of legislation. That suggests to me that this is an important moment for where there's an expectation of change.
Absolutely. So one thing that we did in this study was include participants who work for companies nationally, so not necessarily only transgender or gender expansive employees. And the reason for that is we were trying to understand on a national level how are employers responding to this rise in anti-LGBTQ and anti-transgender legislation. So we found on the whole, a lot of folks would say that their workplace is welcoming for the LGBTQ community. This can look like a lot of different things. Maybe they have different events that they're sponsoring during June and Pride Month. But where we found a bit of a discrepancy is in the meaningful response to the rise in this hateful legislation and people feeling like their employers maybe could be doing more to support their transgender and gender expansive employees very specifically. And I think the important thing to note there is, beyond the clear impact to mental health, we do find that transgender and gender expansive employees are saying that the rise in this legislation is impacting their ability to do their job successfully. So whether employers like it or not, this is a workplace issue, and they do see opportunity for employers to take further action. One example that came up in this study was employers could be more proactive about having policies in place or procedures that would help their transgender and gender expansive employees understand areas where it may not be safe for them to travel, as just one example. So while many feel that their employer is taking action to support the LGBTQ community as a whole, there is more work to be done for transgender and gender expansive workers.
Is there geographic, or I don't know if your study was granular enough to figure out whether there was geographic difference in terms of impacts on mental health? For example, are transgender and gender expansive workers in Florida more deeply impacted than, say, those in Minnesota?
Yes, that's a great question. We did have respondents nationally as part of the study, and we were surprised to see that there is not necessarily a correlation between states that are introducing more of these anti-LGBTQ laws than states that are perhaps, alternatively introducing legislation that are sort of intended to protect the LGBTQ or transgender community. And I think part of the reason for that is really the national media. I think, again, folks in Minnesota are just as likely to see what's happening in Florida, what's happening in some other more conservative states. And that is having an impact on them, even if they don't live in those states. So there's not necessarily as strong of a correlation depending on geography that we would have expected. And for us, that was an important takeaway, that even workers in states that are introducing more protections for the gender expansive and transgender community are still impacted by what's happening in states that are not doing that. And as to be expected, people who are living in the more conservative states are certainly experiencing similar levels of trauma and concern for their own personal safety as folks in other states.
So how can the results of this study be applied in the real world in service of justice? If you were to be able to give advice to employers who were concerned about, wanting to make all of their workers feel safe, feel welcomed, feel loved, what would you suggest that they do?
That's a great question. So one of the most important components of this study was asking LGBTQ respondents what actions are most meaningful to you of a long list of things that employers can do. What are the most meaningful for you as an LGBTQ worker? And so we do have a prioritized list based on input from workers nationally, and we organized the actions into a couple of different categories. The first one is visibility. So making sure that LGBTQ workers are able to show up as their authentic selves at work. So one example of this would be employers making it very simple for employees to have their pronouns in company communications as one example of visibility. We also had categories around safety and flourishing. So the example that I gave earlier, where employers may have an opportunity to provide guidance to their LGBTQ workers on areas where it is safe for them to travel or alternatively unsafe for them to travel, maybe one example of safety. But we also looked at flourishing and actions that employers can do, or policies that they can put in place to make sure that their LGBTQ workers are leading, you know, the best lives that they could possibly lead. So an example of that might be, maybe it's health insurance options that have, gender inclusive benefits as part of that, their health insurance package. It can be, it can really run the gamut from things like, health insurance to time off for gender transition and inclusive care. So there's really a long list of possibilities there. And I think it's important for employers to really understand from their workers or from workers nationally, what actions are most meaningful for them and what steps can they start to take to implement some of those actions that are in support of creating safer workplaces.
Does it seem to you to be effective for workplaces to also be a bit activist, if you will? I'm thinking about Disney in Florida, when Florida began passing very harmful legislation, especially against transgender people, and the so-called Don't Say Gay law. The company's LGBTQ workers were very upset that the company didn't take a strong enough stand using its economic clout to sort of stand up to the state of Florida. Now, of course, most workplaces aren't as big and powerful as Disney, but do you think that it would impact the mental health of transgender and gender expansive workers to see their employers sort of go to bat for them, advocate for them?
Absolutely. We did find from the study that there is a desire for our LGBTQ workers nationally to see their employers take a more vocal stance about support for the community. The important thing to note there is they not only want them to take a vocal stance in support of the LGBTQ community, but of course they want to see meaningful action internally. So we did look at, what are the differences between, the distinction, I should say, between employers who are, verbalizing their support for the LGBTQ community publicly, but maybe not taking action internally to make that support real. So I think it's important for employers to know that, yes, your workers want you to use your influence in support of them to any degree possible, but to make sure that that support is not performative, that it is followed up by actions that are meaningful to your LGBTQ workers. So there definitely is a gap with employers who are, maybe publicly supporting the LGBTQ community, but not taking action internally. And that was very specifically what we wanted to study within this latest research. So you do start to see perhaps more and more companies, again, maybe they're hosting events during Pride Month or, creating advertising or marketing communications in support of the LGBTQ community in June, but the opportunity and the need is to support these workers year round.
Finally, Liz, tell me a little bit more about the Coven, what it is and how people can find out also about the study.
Absolutely. So the Coven is a shared workspace and a community that is designed for belonging. So we opened our first workspace in the Twin Cities 5 years ago and have now expanded to three with ambitions to expand nationally. And two of the co-founders, myself included, are market researchers by background. And so as part of our work, building and designing these workspaces in an inclusive fashion, it's really important for us to understand how we can continue to create inclusive spaces that are designed for belonging. So we have a research studio at the Coven that is called Empress. And that work is very much intended to be continually conducting research like this study that is intended for organizations that are interested in creating more inclusive cultures of belonging within their own organization. So you can find out more about the Coven at our website, which is thecoven.com. And you can also learn more about Empress and the research that we're doing and the subscriptions that we offer to access this research at empressinsight.com.
Liz, thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
My guest has been Liz Giel, co-founder and partner with The Coven. And I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.